So will you please take your hymn book and be sure the hymns are listed right here in the church bulletin, 62, 314, and 393. They are right there. And if this is your first time here worshiping with us, we also like you to take a little time to cut the bulletin in this way and write your name and address and so on and put that in the offering plate when the offering is passed, and we will have the opportunity to write to you and communicate with you. The scripture says these in Psalm 25, verse 1, verse 4, and verse 5. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Praise God for this scripture, and we thank the Lord that we have the opportunity in about 3 minutes to be on the air. And I just want to announce to you, starting on September the 1st, that KKMC goes into the computer business, and you can hear Bethel Baptist Church at 11 o'clock any place in the world, because if you have internet, you just put kkkmc.com, and then you have Bethel Baptist Church service right there in the internet. So when you go on vacation, I still follow you, all right? That is, praise the Lord. No charge for that either. I was thinking, how can we make a web page? And here the station called me and said, we will have this service for you. All right, number 62, as we sing together and praise the Lord. Remember, in the church bulletin is there the listings of the hymn 62, 314, and 393. Let's praise the Lord together in this beautiful day.
Oh,
to the Lord in prayer together. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. He is our high priest. He is our intercessor. And he is everything that we adore and worship. And so thank you, Father, for the revelation of thy Son through the scripture. Thank you, Lord, that to him we worship. And thank you, Lord, that it is about Jesus that we preach and center our message. Thank you for the opportunity to be over the air in KKMC and bless the listeners at this very hour, wherever they are, and whatever their need is, that you, O God, may supply through the perhaps the reading of thy word, the praising of thy name by the choir, or the preaching of thy word later on, that these people who love you may receive the blessings from above, because you are a mighty and powerful God who speaks to us through your word. Lord, not only we have a great large audience over the air, but also the tape ministry, and many, many people are listening through our tape ministry, and we pray that you bless them and that they may pass the tapes on to other people, knowing that these tapes are made with a purpose to bring blessing to the hearts of hundreds and hundreds of people across America. Father, we have few families out today, and we have the Vitola family looking again for a house in Nevada, and we pray that you guide our brother and sister in their search. Lord, for Jacques Kasanjian, as he is celebrating with his family in Oregon, 50 years of marriage. What a faithful God we have. They keep the covenant together. Thank you, Father. The Guerrero family are having a reunion in Los Angeles, and we pray for them that they may enjoy each other and that they may praise your name, because you are the creator of families. And Father, we have received the news this week that the Dulilo family have been blessed by another boy in the family. The number 7, Thomas Dulilo, has been added to the family. Lord, there are some girls over there, and now they are boys. And it's just so beautiful, Lord, that you have put that family together and brought that family to this church, and that the birth of this baby has been very successful. A big boy, but Father, it is just a great joy for us believers to rejoice with the Dulilo family, knowing that you have blessed them with another life, because each boy, according to Psalm 127, each girl that comes into our family, each child that you add to our life is a gift from above. And we thank you, Lord, that you have pleased to bless our family in such a way. We are grateful that Mrs. Dulilo is doing well, and Father, we'll keep the family busy, but Lord, there is no greater joy than our own children. Thank you, Father, for that. We do have missionaries across the world, and we pray for Fred and Carol Lewis as they are spending their time in America for 6 months to instruct their daughter to be stable in a college here, and then they will leave back for Ukraine. Father, we are thankful for Carl and Ruth Knott, who minister the gospel in Huasca, Spain, for our brother Eusebio and Maritza Perez, who minister in Malaga. And then, Lord, locally, this South Valley Pregnancy Care Center. Here's a place, a refuge for people to come in trouble. And here is a word of counsel and a word of wisdom from above, and also supplying needs for these people. And Lord, for our brother Ruben and Irene Zagert, I met him yesterday, and he gave me a good report about the church in Lodi. And this is a missionary church. Our church have come to support the pastor there. And how beautiful it is to know that there are some about 80 to 90 Spanish people now, after 3 years of work, meeting together in the city of Lodi. Thank you, Father, for your mercy upon these people, that you have reached them through the gospel. Lord, may this day be a glorious day in thy presence. And may today be a day in which we remember that we came to church and we visited with Jesus. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the glory and the honor, knowing, Father, that we bring our offerings to you, because this is the way that we support the ministry. We love you, and this is why we give. Bless the giver and bless the offering. In Jesus' precious name, amen. My friend, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you as the offertory is play in the church. I want to use these few minutes to offer again to you our church. It's located in Highway 101 and the intersection of Tennant Avenue and Morgan Hill. Also, we want to offer to you our phone line, 778-2595, and the area code is 408-0779-2300. If you do have an emergency and you want to talk to me right away, the phone number will be 408-390-0998. May God bless you as you think about your life and about your future and about guidance for your life. Here's a church that want to serve you, serve the community here and beyond our boundaries, because we love the Lord, we love you too. God bless you, and let's join the service in progress.
Thank you, choir. We ask you now to take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. If you didn't bring a Bible, there is a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 899. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeking ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be both glory, both now and forever. Amen. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we praise your holy name. We come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you that you have not left us ignorant, but have given us the Bible and your very words to guide us and direct us to Christ. We thank you for so great a salvation that you have provided for us in him.
Amen.
And that we know we must be ready when he appears a second time in great power and glory. And we pray that we would be careful to be found of him in peace and without spot. We pray, Father, for our pastor and your servant, Gabriel Otero, as he preaches the gospel on the radio and in this place, that you would draw to Jesus some who don't know you, that they would be redeemed by his precious blood. Give us understanding as the scriptures are explained, that we may be obedient to our Lord's commandments. We ask these things in his name. Amen.
Amen.
And please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And it is a real pleasure to once again look upon the second letter of the Apostle Peter. And as you look to that in your Bible, the second letter of the Apostle Peter, in chapter 3, I want to say I enjoy the young people today. I was feeling young as I was teaching the high school because the teacher was not here. And so we really have a great lesson together, especially reviewing these hard letters that the Apostle Paul, they accused the Apostle Paul. He was ugly. He was a little bit short. He didn't know how to dress. I just shared with them, Mommy, that in Mission Spring, we have a guy from Russia who was a baritono from the Italian opera house. But boy, let me take these so that I don't confuse that the board there. His pants were like these, you know, and it, all like these. And you see him and say, well, who cares about this fellow? But when he starts singing, we no longer saw the man. We saw Christ and the glory. A baritono from Italy, I tell you, a Russian fellow. And it's so simple. And I pray and I cry. I say, Lord, I hope that when I preach, that happened. The suit and everything I have disappear. And Christ will shine as high as possible. So we learn from the young people that. We learn how to date. We learn how to pick up a girl and a boy. And we really learn how to be serious about life. And it was very important how Paul was criticized because he told the truth. This is a hard man. Well, I told them, you want a pastor that tells you the truth and tells you the word of God. As hard as it is, we have to look on it. Well, we have a great time, don't we? We have a great time with the young people, and I'm sorry to say this, but Brother Vitola has been asking us to release him from his duty of teaching the adult class together with our Brother Blika. And so momentarily, the pastor will assume that role. So you will have to endure me for a while until I pick up, handpick man. But we're going to do it young people style. So you better read 1 Corinthians 11, because 2 Corinthians 11, because I'm going to ask you questions and I'm going to bring papers so you fill the exam and everything. All right. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is the conclusion of the letter. The letter is ending today. Now, the second letter of the Apostle Peter was a very unique letter. Number one, the Apostle Peter wanted people to know and to grow. Look at it in chapter 3, 2 Peter 3, verse 18. This is the conclusion. It said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. You see it? So the Apostle wrote the letter that the people there to whom the letter was addressed, the Christians across the Hebrew Peninsula and also in Asia Minor, the apostle wanted the people to grow in grace and knowledge. Now, knowledge comes first, and then knowledge applied to your life, you grow in grace. You see how easy it is. And the apostle said, I want you to grow. So chapter 1 is the knowledge about Christ, and he taught everything about Christ. Then in chapter 2, the knowledge about the counterfeit. They are people, they are like those false dollars that you find in foreign countries. When they give you the exchange of dollars, you don't know if the dollar is good or bad. And they are counterfeits, okay? They are counterfeits. And he said, you have to know the counterfeits. And for all of these chapters, there are tapes over there in the back, free of charge to you. You can check on it. On chapter 3, the apostle, knowledge about your future. So the letter is divided easily in three thoughts. Knowledge about Christ, knowledge about the counterfeit, and knowledge about your future. Now, last Sunday, he gave us a background story about the future, and I entitled, Be Informed. Be informed about the second coming of the Lord. The fact that he delayed doesn't mean he's not coming. And the fact that he's patient doesn't mean he's not saving. He's still saving his people. But when, remember last Sunday, when the last of his people will be saved, then that's it. It's all over, folks. And there is no second grace or third grace or whatever. Now, he wants us to be diligent also because of the coming of the Lord. Look at in verse 11. In the King James, the word is seen then. And it's an added word because the verb is a subjunctive verb. And in the English, it's very hard to replace a word. But should be translated since then. Since then that all these things shall be dissolved. Since this universe, these beautiful buildings, your wonderful work, your treasure in the bank, or whatever is your investment and goal, or whatever. Since all of this is going to be dissolved, what manner of person are we to be? He says. And so in verse 14, he gives us the clue of what the apostle wants us. He said at verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. And that's the title of my sermon. Be diligent. Be diligent. Now, be diligent about what? Three things I want to call your attention this morning. Be diligent, he said, from verses 11 to 14, about your lifestyle. Be diligent about your lifestyle, verse 11 to 14. Then he pressed on, and he said, be diligent with your understanding of God, verse 15 and 16. And then be diligent with your spiritual growth. So three things to consider. And let's work in each one of them. Be diligent with your lifestyle. Now, this expectant attitude ought to make a difference in our personal life. The fact that Jesus is coming again ought to make a difference in my lifestyle. That's what he's saying. Not only in my knowledge. You know that there are many doctrines about the coming of the Lord. There is one called premillennial doctrine. And that doctrine, that teaching,
expressed that the Lord is coming. The three doctrines said the Lord is coming, but in these doctrines said there will be 7 years period where we'll be clever to his coming. 3.5 years of prosperity and joy, peace in the world, 3.5 years of chaos, and then the Lord come, and then he will come to reign in this world 1,000 years, and then the end will come. There is another teaching, which I happen to believe, that the Lord comes at the end of this great tribulation. It's not about lacking food. In my country, when I was young, we only had sugar once a week. We only have kerosene for our kitchen once a week. And, you know, we know what it is not to have things, and we don't thought it was the end of the world. It's only America that you walk in a Safeway store. I remember in 65, my first impression, I walked in a Safeway store, and it was packed, all kinds of food. And I said, oh, my God, what happened here? So I took pictures. They said, Raquel, we come tomorrow. So we come tomorrow again. At 10 o'clock when the store opened, here we are in Alameda. It took pictures again. And I said, it's full. So finally, I cannot get over. And I asked the manager, I said, where do you get the food? I said, we go and buy it and put it together. As a matter of fact, they showed me the whole plant. Later on, I get to know the vice president of Safeway. And he said, what is your problem? I said, I'm shocked. You have such a money to buy all of these food. Then they understood how rich they were. The man said, well, I want to show you the warehouse. And show me the warehouse where the meat is stored and so on. And I took pictures and I told to South America, you think America is big. Now, you only know half of the story. Look at the food they have. See? So, now, the Lord is coming again. And this doctrine that the Lord is coming again to me is this. All of this food that you have, all of this progress that you have, all the money, all the army, the might, and the power of the world will disappear in 1 second, will be dissolved here. And the Lord is coming. His people will be with him. Those who are not his people will be judged and sent to hell forever. Now, that's the doctrine I endorse. There's another doctrine that said the Lord is coming, and then $1,000 will come. It's called post-millennium and so on. But, you know, they are different doctrines. I'm not talking about doctrine here. I'm talking about the practicality of the doctrine. Because the Jesus Christ is coming against the Apostle Paul, Peter, ought to be a difference in your lifestyle and in my lifestyle. Let's see what kind of difference. Well, our conduct should be characterized by holiness. Look at in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and verse 16. Our conduct should be characterized by holiness. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manners of conversations, said the King James, in all manners of behavior, lifestyle, I like that word, lifestyle. And then the Apostle Peter said in verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy. And here's the reason. God said, for I am holy. You know, that's out of the book of Leviticus. And so the first thing I learned from verse 11, since then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness? The fact that you and I know for sure that Jesus is coming again, regardless what the unbelievers said. When I was an unbeliever, I laughed about that. But now that I'm a believer, I know that he's coming again, ought to make a difference in my life. Knowing that my Lord is coming, I need to have a life characterized by holiness in my life, my speech, my lifestyle, everything I said and do. Our conduct should be characterized by purity also. Look at in Romans in chapter 13, verse 11 to 14. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. Romans chapter 13. In verse 11 to 13, my conduct should characterize by purity, purity of mind, purity of things that I do. Look at what the scripture said, Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Some Christians are sleeping concerning the doctrine that Jesus is coming again. They know it, but they don't have consciousness of it. They know that Jesus is coming again, but makes no difference in their life. And so the apostle is saying, knowing that Jesus is coming again, you know, some Christians who are good workers, if you're a Christian and you're a good worker, praise God for that. But if you got three jobs to make money, you are in the wrong business. The Jesus coming again. The house, the boat, the curtains, the carpet, the golden roof, everything is going to go. Your family is more important than your job. You know that. And so our characteristics is we work to supply our money and to supply enough to live a comfortable life, praise God, in this country. But then our job is not our God. Our money is not our God. And so we are to live. Look at what the apostle said in verse 11 in Romans chapter 13. He said, awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. That doesn't mean that salvation changed. It means that when Jesus comes, then the salvation of this body of sin is going to go. And we're going to have a celestial body. And every day that's passing on, we are closer to that day. That's what he's saying. Now, verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. When he said the day is in reference to the coming of the Lord, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, that is, any work that is not godly is a work of darkness. And then he says clearly, and let us put on the armor of light. In Ephesians 6, the armor of light, Ephesians 6, verses 13 to the end, is the gospel. The gospel. You put on the gospel, he said. Verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, I was telling the young people, if you buy a magazine who is pornographic, you are making provision for the flesh and filling your life with something that's going to hurt you later on. And so the apostle is saying this and going back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 11 and 12, they're saying we must have a life who is godly and we must have a life who is holy because the Lord is coming again. So this expectant attitude, the Lord is coming again, out to make a difference in my personal conduct. Also, this expectant attitude should be a difference in my witnessing and my testimony. Look at in verse 12 now, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of our Lord. See, hasting, it means fast. We can hasten the day of the Lord by what? By praying. Look at Matthew 6. You remember the prayer of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 10? In Matthew 6 and in verse 10, look at how Jesus taught us to pray. He taught us to pray, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. That the kingdom means the coming of the Lord. Thy kingdom come. And so we need to look in for the coming of the Lord and hasten that day. We need to accelerate that day in our heart. And we can pray every day. My grandmother, now with the Lord, I never forgot every morning that I have conscience of, she will open the windows out to her patio and she will look up and said, and I was 6, 7 years old, and she will say, perhaps today. And I had no idea what she said. I don't know if she was looking for bread, for fish, or for what. She will open the windows, no other explanation. She will look up to heaven and she will say, perhaps today. And she went to the running of the day. Every day of her life, she lived with the consciousness that today, maybe today, the Lord is coming again. That means hasting the coming of the Lord. We live lives like the Lord is never going to come. Is that right? We live lives like so independent from this that when somebody tells you this story, it looks like a real story. It doesn't look right. But that's the way Christians should live. The church of Thessalonica was living in that way. It was living under tremendous expectation, perhaps today. Well, 2,000 years ago, Jesus promised that he will come again. and now it's too far. And for some Christians, looks too far because their lifestyle is like me, me, and me. Some people say, well, you know, Pastor, we need a break. And it's good to have a vacation. It's good to have things like that. But really what we need is a consciousness of the presence of the Lord in our life. That will give you rest. That will give this pastor absolute holiness and peace of mind. And how we do that? We pray, Lord, thy kingdom come. That's the prayer. Then we can witness as much as we can to reach the last person. That's hasting the coming of the Lord. Look at what Matthew said in Matthew 24. Remember that beautiful passage where Jesus lectured about the coming of the Lord, about the timing of his coming and all of these. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. People like to argue about the details and when is this and when is the other. I like to take the concept and apply it to my life. Look at Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. You know, when he say that, the people maybe wonder, how are we going to do that? I was telling our young people today in class, I said, you know, to go from Jerusalem all the way to Priscilla in Asia Minor, that took about 2 years. You have to take a boat, you have to walk, get a horse, and you never know. When you send a missionary, when Paul and Barnabas departed from Syria to go to Europe, I tell you, they never thought when we're going to see it again. Took about 3 years to come back. And so look at here. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. What a witness unto all nations. And what happened then? And then, said the scripture, shall the end come. And so there will be a day when somebody will witness the gospel. Somebody will take that gospel into their heart because of the work of God. And that will be the end. The trumpet will sound. The Lord will be on the sky. And how do we hasten that day, as the Apostle Peter said in chapter 3, verse 12, looking up and hasten the day of the Lord. We pray, thy kingdom come. And then we witness. We witness to people. And when the last of the elects of God come into the kingdom, the Lord comes. We don't have to worry about the hour. We don't know. We don't have to worry about the details. We don't know. No man knows. Oh, man, through history, try to understand when. But God is not in business to tell you when. The Lord is in business to tell you how. How the Lord has come. When the last will come in. When the last come in, he's coming. So your business, my business, is not trying to discover when the Lord will come, but rather to witness and witness and witness and witness and witness till the Lord really come. Now this expectant attitude will make a difference when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in 2 Peter, back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. Will make a difference. Wherefore, beloved, says 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 14, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without a spot, and blameless. Wow. See, rather than spending your lifetime and finding when the Lord comes, what day, what month, what year, what hour, the apostle is clear here. Be diligent to have peace. And be diligent to have no spot or blameless shot in your life. Now, how do you have peace then? Well, Romans 5, verse 1 tells you how you have peace. You know, I just each time President Clinton said yesterday on the news that he need to go to Arabia, to the Moroccos, and we were across Moroccos last year, because the King of Moroccos is very helpful for the peace in the Middle East. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the peace the Bible talking about. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the King of Moroccos. No, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Our government is so ignorant of God and so ignorant of Christ that they try to make a deal to have peace in this world without Jesus. There is no peace without Jesus. There will be no peace in our schools without the Bible in the schools. There will be no peace in the cities without Jesus being in the city hall. I tell you, it's just simple like that. And so the Bible said here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 14, be diligent to have peace. My friend, the Lord is coming again. Be sure that you're at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Other people said, Pastor, I have peace with God through the church. Well, the church preaches Christ. But the church is not a bridge. I hope the church preached Christ. But the church is not a bridge. See, what the Bible said, through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to go on the bridge. And the bridge is the Lord Jesus Christ. The church should supposed to present Christ. The church is supposed to tell you about Christ. But Christ is the bridge. Christ is the mediator. Christ is the intercessor. Christ is everything. So have peace with God. He's coming again. Without a spot and blameless. Well, some people say, Pastor, I do good works. Well, that's fine. I give money to the poor, and I do these and I do the others. You know what the Bible called these good works? Filthy rags. You people who work in the garage mechanically know what a filthy rag is. Your wife don't even want to see it. I don't work mechanically, so I don't destroy my cars, but I tell you, there are men here who knows how to do it, and they know how to work on it. And when you finish those rags, you don't even want to wash it. My wife said, don't put this in the washing machine. Throw it away and get another one. Now, that's the kind of thing. We're trying to do things. We're trying. And you know, that's what the Bible said. The whole thing is going to be dissolved. And the thing you try is not there anymore. It's dissolved. Now, when the Bible talks about dissolved, I don't want to give you a lecture in engineering. But every dot in this piece of wood is alive yet. And every dot is called a molecular system. And they have some atoms that have some negatives and positives. And they're constantly battling in each other. If they crash, the whole thing will blow. But they don't crash. God has designed that the molecular system and the matter, they go around in a perfect circle, never crashing. When man discovered that, he created the atomic bomb. He divided the proton and boom, the whole thing, just a tiny little thing, will blow a city. Look at the power of the gospel. The dunamos. Now, I tell you something. The scripture says that we need to be blameless before God. And the only thing that makes us blameless, you know what it is? It's not your good works. What makes us blameless? Suppose somebody stopped you on the street and said, Lord, sir, when the Lord comes, you have to be blameless. You say, yes. How? All right. Let's go to 1 John. That's what John wrote this beautiful, beautiful letter. 1 John chapter 1. Look at that. And John writes to the church, and in 1 John chapter 1, and look at in 1 John chapter 1, and in verse 7, look at what he says. He's going to give us an idea what makes us blameless, without spot. You know, if you go to Safeway store to the area of detergents, it's only one detergent? No, it's about 7 or 8. And which is the one which is good and really clean? I don't like to send my suit to clean for two reasons. You lose your press in the suit, and I don't like that. And then secondly, maybe use something that damage the material. And so I'm very picky. When I go over there, I say, now listen, what are you going to use to clean these? This is this kind of a spot. I did it with this and this. And tell me what you're going to use. Because I'm very picky about my suit. They have to just perch, you know. Everybody is picky about something. But look at here. Verse 7, but we walk in the light as he is in the light. We got fellowship one with another. And here's the detergent. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, what does? Cleanses us from all sin. Don't try to clean yourself. Because always you're going to have a spot. The spot of Adam. See, we have the sin of Adam. And the only thing that cleans the sin of Adam are all nature. The only thing that cleans our all nature is who? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. He shed his blood on Calvary cross once for all 2,000 years ago. And he shed his blood. And when we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we are saying, the death of Jesus and the blood of Jesus is the only thing I trust for my security in my life. It's the only thing I bring to God. I cannot bring anything from myself. Wow. Now, that's the attitude that we should have as Christians. That's how we talk about the coming of the Lord. Well, what does the coming of the Lord make in your life? Makes you a difference? Should make us difference. One of my professors in the seminary said this from the chapel. He said, okay, guys, how do you want to be caught when the Lord comes again? In bed with somebody else who is not your spouse? Wow, that's strong. Playing a football game? Watching something? Or in church? Where do you want to be caught when the Lord comes again? Well, I want to be caught in peace with God, and I want to have peace that my sins, my spots, has been taken to Calvary cross, and I'm not guilty of anything. So be diligent about your lifestyle. The coming of the Lord should make a difference in our lifestyle. It's true that we need to work. It's true that we need to have things in this world. But don't go beyond what you need. People say, where do you draw the line? Well, I draw the line and say, this is what I need. The man who brought me to America, Mr. Adrian Franken, now in the presence of the Lord, I admire him, an electronic engineer. He worked his life. His house was so simple. His cars were very simple. His lifestyle was simple. This Hollander had money in the bank well. But, he taught me a lesson. He said, don't work your life just to have things. Work your life to enjoy the presence of God, he said. And he always had money for missions. He always had money for missionaries. He always had money for people to come into his home and stay for a week and so on. It was such a peaceful thing in the city of Alameda, such a peaceful thing. And that Christian Reformed Church in Alameda that we went to visit with him, I tell you, that was such a peaceful thing because there is a man who said, I'm satisfied with what the Lord provides. I don't need all the junk of this world. You know, Christ had made a difference in his life. He lived a long 95 years. And in all these 95 years, I saw a man who already knew he's going to be with the Lord and he's going to be in peace. Now he said, be diligent with your understanding. Verse 15 and verse 16 in 2 Peter 3. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto us, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, and they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Therefore, beloved, being seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest also being led away with error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. Now, here is what he's saying. Be sure about your own salvation. Verse 15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, where is your salvation a place? In the church. And the church have claimed that with error, they have claimed we save you. And it's bad. Some people get baptized to be saved. That's bad. That's not salvation. So, well, we baptize this baby or this person, a baby or adult, for salvation. No, sir. The Lord is salvation. Do you see that? Verse 15. The Lord is salvation. No something I do. No something you do. I, as a pastor, cannot save you. I can pray for your salvation, but I cannot save you. You do what cannot save you. So he said, be diligent about your understanding. You go to church to worship the Lord and to love him with all your heart. But your salvation doesn't depend on what you do. Thank God. Be sure about what salvation is. Because he said, even as our brother, beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. And what salvation is. Now, you know, when you read Paul, you have tremendous questions. Let me show you. Just go to Ephesians chapter 1. Let me tell you what Paul, why he say that, why Peter say that. In Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 4 and 5, look at what Paul said about salvation. Ephesians 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children and by Jesus Christ to himself. Look at what Paul says. Paul says that, you know, he said, even our brother Paul wrote about it, which is hard to understand. Sure, hard to understand. Your name and my name was in God's mind before he created the world. That's hard to understand. Your name and my name were in God's schedule and timetable before anything was in this world. It's absolutely hard. I understand Peter. He said, boy, brother Paul, it's hard to understand about salvation. But to Paul was given the gift to write the depthness of our salvation. Your root of salvation is not from this man or this man. It's from God himself. And he have your number before you were created. Wow, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because if God has to wait until this soccer player come to God, he can wait all his life. I will never come for myself. I will come to God because of his love. He drove me to himself. So be sure about your salvation. Be sure about what you understand about your salvation. Be sure to understand the word. In verse 16, he said, as also in all his epistles. Now, some people who are unbelievers question this. They said, well, how do you know the Bible is the Bible? Well, the Apostle Peter is saying in verse 16 that the writings of the Apostle Paul are the scripture. He said, in all his epistles. In other words, the Apostle Peter is respecting the Apostle Paul and saying that whatever Paul wrote are the writings of the scripture. That's what he's saying. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. So he compared the writings of Paul with the scripture as one. So therefore, the Bible by itself became the canon of the scripture. Know what other man tell us, this book should be in the Bible, this other book should be in the Bible. No, you look in the Bible, which book testified to the other book, and you see the clicking. Now, by one sentence, he put all the writings of Paul right with the scripture. And so we believers said the scriptures are what these guys said are the scripture. The apostles are the one who canonized the scripture and not the church. That's another learning. So be diligent about your understanding. Some people, by reading books, get more confused than really clarify in their mind. If you read the scripture and you know how to divide the nouns from the verbs and you know how to correlate one sentence with the other, you know everything. You say, Pastor, how do you learn that? By reading. By reading. You read it backwards and forward and say, I don't understand it. Read it again. And read it again, and read it again. Why this man say this, and why the other man say this? To whom he say it, how he say it. And very soon you have a whole compound. But people get confused by listen to this, listen to this, listen to this. And you listen 20 people. 20 people give you 20 different opinions. You have to know what you want. What you're seeking for. Seeking for truth? Here it is. Jesus prayed and said, Holy Father, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Finally, be diligent about your spiritual growth. Verse 17, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware. Beware. Beware of false doctrine. Verse 17, say, beware being led away with error. Beware that somebody is teaching you, is teaching you, is teaching you, is teaching you. And very soon, if the teaching of such a one moves you from the Bible to something else, that's error. That's error. That's apostasy. I'm going to get harder. That's apostasy. That means you are denying the truth. Don't move from the scripture. If somebody is teaching you, say, read this, read this, read this, and you move in this way, that and what you read, whether any material from anybody, I'm not blaming one church or the other. I mean anybody, any book that you read, even a book written by me, if that moves you from the scripture to something else, that's error. Growing grace, he said in verse 18. Grow in grace. Oh, thank you, Lord. Grow in grace. Know that God is a forgiving God. Know that God is a merciful God. Remember Lamentations? I like that one. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is because of the mercies of God we are not consumed. His mercy are renewed. When? Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. From that text comes our hymn here, great is thy faithfulness. See, his mercy are renewed every morning. Now listen, grow in grace. You blew it today, like I sometimes blew it. You blew it today, don't worry. 24 hours will go, and now the mercies of God are upon your life. Write a new page, clear as can be. Wow, what a God. He's not a policeman with a stick heading in your head. He's a God with arms open to love you and to give you another chance and another chance and another chance. What a God we have. Beware of false doctrine. Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus. Look at verse 18. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. I thought that Peter will say, being Peter, that he will say, grow in the knowledge of doctrine of the church. No, he said, grow in the knowledge of Jesus. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus. So what is the conclusion? He writes it right here in verse 18 at the very end. To him be glory both now and forever. Peter, I love you. I love you. He was a co-pastor. He never was a head pastor. He was a co-pastor of the Church of Jerusalem. The head pastor was James. He was a co-pastor. Read the book of Galatians. James was a pillar. And read the book of Acts in chapter 15. James was the one who cut the cake and told them what to do. Peter was just an assistant pastor. But when he comes to the Lord, he said, oh, to him be glory forevermore. Should we all have that expression in our heart? When we come to the Lord, we all say, oh, to God be glory forevermore. But let us show it with our life, especially our lifestyle. Because Pastor Otero says so? Because Bethel Baptist Church says so? No, sir, no. Because Jesus is coming again. Because Jesus is coming again. If you believe that Jesus is coming again, we want to watch our life more carefully. Where we are, what we eat, what we do, we're going to watch our life more carefully. I told the young people, you are 13, 14, 15, 16. The hormone system is working in you, and it's working for good. Now watch your lifestyle. What you do with that hormone system depends between you and the Lord. Be sure that you fear the Lord, and everything will be okay. You don't have to be afraid. Oh, how wonderful. I thank God for the elders that I have at my time. They watched me where I went. I was so rascal. They were afraid of me. They have a reason for it. I'm not afraid of the Lord. Are you afraid of the Lord? Are you afraid? I'm not afraid of the Lord. If the Lord comes today, are you afraid? I'm not afraid. I'm looking forward. If you're afraid, you know, you have something hidden in your heart. What's the solution, Pastor? Just tell the Lord. The Lord, I'm sorry, I blew it here, and I blew it here, and I blew it here, but it's me. According to your promise that you give me mercy, I'm here. And he starts all over with you and makes out of you a beautiful person that you never believe is you. Jesus, do it all. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Thank you that he's coming again. And thank you that Peter, tell us that he's coming again. And so we must change our lifestyle and view that Jesus is coming again. Lord, help me as a pastor to change my lifestyle, to day by day to be closer and closer to Jesus and what I said and what I talk and what I do, and help my congregation and those who listen over the air and those in the tape ministry to change their lifestyle more and more and more like Jesus. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
give all my future to you. No matter the cost or what others do, I give all my life to you. I give all
Son, you are everything in our life. You know us before we even open our mouth. You know the details of our struggles and agonies. Some of these agonies are right, some of these agonies are wrong. And sometimes, Lord, we confess to you we are blind. But Father, you're a loving God. You take us as we are, and you change us with power. Bless my people, Lord, here, that they may receive that blessing of power from above to raise up from whatever they are and then become a wonderful person who reflects Jesus in their walk of life. Bless me, Father, that we be changed day to day, hour to hour, in the beauty of Jesus. We give glory to him. Yes, Lord. Bless us in the fellowship that follow and the meal that we're going to have together. Bless the next service at 2:30, that people may receive the word with gladness. And once again, Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. I want to encourage you that we have a fellowship dinner.